AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, the Republican National Convention. I'm Daria Albinger. Straight from prison to the convention, Peter Navarro.
This is a beautiful thing. I think you just, I think you folks just want to know if you can see my MAGA tattoo I got there.
The former Trump White House trade advisor served 4 months for contempt of Congress after he refused to testify or hand over documents to the House January 6th committee.
I went to prison so you won't have to. I am your wake-up call.
The theme tonight is Make America Strong once again. It's also a coming-out party of sorts for vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance, who's giving the keynote address. The Ohio senator will be introduced to the delegates by one of his staunchest supporters, Mr. Trump's son, Donald Jr. This is ABC News. A New Jersey father has been arrested for the death of his 8-year-old daughter, who police say was left in a hot car. At least 11 children have died in hot cars across the U.S. so far this year, according to national nonprofit KidsInCars.org. Two shows dominate this year's Emmy nominations.
You got this, baby.
Yes, Chef.
What the Bear got was an Emmy's record, 23 nominations for the FX show about what it takes to run a high-end restaurant. That's the most nominations ever for a comedy series. 30 Rock had 22 nominations in 2009. But with even more nominations this year, the first-year FX series Shogun.
War is coming.
The Japanese feudal drama scored 25 nominations, and while that's not the most in history for a drama, it is the most for any show this year. The Bear and Shogun are up for Best Comedy and Best Drama, respectively. Jason Athenson, ABC News, Hollywood.
$44.6 million, that's the record amount someone paid for a nearly complete Stegosaurus skeleton at Sotheby's. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today I want to talk about dealing with debt collectors and your rights when you are in collections. Debt collectors are people who've been hired to collect money that you owe to someone else. They can be persistent or rude or sometimes worse, but they do have to follow rules. Federal law says that they cannot call before 8 a.m. in the morning or after 9 p.m. at night. They cannot harass you, meaning they can't curse at you or threaten you. And they cannot lie to you or make up consequences for not paying your debt. And they can't tell anyone other than your spouse or your attorney about your debt. Now, if you experience any of this, you can complain about them to the Federal Trade Commission at consumer.gov. And last thought before I go, you can always ask a debt collector to stop calling you. Legally, they have to comply. If they don't, you report them to the FTC. For more money tips, go to workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
I'm Terry Bell with WMDX News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WMDX website at mad.radio.
Atome Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Advocates are demanding an investigation into the deadly police shooting of a homeless man in Milwaukee. It happened outside the Republican National Convention perimeter. Five officers from Columbus, Ohio, shot and killed Samuel Sharp Jr. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman says Sharp was threatening someone with a knife.
Someone's life was in danger. These officers, who are not from this area, took upon themselves to act to save someone's life.
About 100 people came to a vigil for Sharp. There are hundreds of law enforcement officers from all over the country here in Wisconsin to help with the RNC. Now authorities will start an investigation into the deadly shooting. And Thursday is the final day of the Republican National Convention. We're expecting speeches from members of the Trump family. And then in the evening, former President Donald Trump is expected to give the keynote address, formally accepting his party's nomination. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks now 0-3 in summer league play after losing 112-97 to the LA Clippers. Meanwhile, the Bucks have added free agent shooting guard Gary Trent Jr. from the Toronto Raptors. Patrick Beverley is leaving the NBA. He's going to play in the Israeli League next season. Baseball, the All-Star game with another win for the American League. They won 5-3 last night in Arlington. NFL, the Packers quarterbacks and rookies reporting to camp today in Green Bay, the first practice Monday. CEO Mark Murphy asked if he's getting concerned about reaching an agreement with quarterback Jordan Love. Murphy praised his vice president of finance, Russ Ball.
You know, I tell you, we are very fortunate. You know, we have probably one of the best people in the league in terms of salary cap management and negotiating contracts. And Russ Ball, he's been around the league forever, and I'm very confident that we'll be able to get a deal done.
That's the Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, to a low in the mid-50s. And mostly sunny for tomorrow, few clouds and pleasant, highs mid-70s. And more sun Friday, high near 80. Temperatures continue to warm into the weekend with some slight chances for showers and storms. Highs into the low 80s. It's 69 degrees right now.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, day four, we're live at the RNC in downtown Milwaukee. A little sports talk with Paul Noonan, Brittany Merlot for Weather and Wine at 11:50. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightline with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who binge watches TV for a living but doesn't get paid, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to hour number two of this Wednesday edition of Nightlight. And if you're just joining us, welcome. If you're if you were listening to the RNC wrap up with Terry Bell and Todd Alba, who do a great job and have been crushing it all week, welcome to Nightlight. It's great to have you if you're just joining us on the radio, because we were just streaming and it didn't feel the same. Conrad, it was weird, right?
It was definitely just weird. Me? Yeah, okay. No, it was weird.
All right. Sherry is joining us. She says, good evening, friends. Hi, Sherry. I wonder if Sherry was watching the wrap up. What do you think? You think Sherry watched the wrap up, or do you think she's just joining us now coincidentally?
Sherry, I hope you watched the wrap up.
I hope you did too, Sherry. Wrap up is great. Hey, we have a contest here at WGBW and WISS. We are on statewide, so I don't know how that works. Do you, Conrad, are people statewide eligible for this? I suppose they would be, right?
Well, so actually, instead of texting, you go to the Mino and the Mayor Facebook page, and they actually got a post up, which has the question, and you just put your answer in the comments.
Is that how that works?
Yes.
Okay. So these are to win a pair of tickets to Good Buffalo's, a.k.a. Ace Champion, concert Vibrations of the... His concert is called Vibrations of the Earth at the Malva Cultural Center, and it's this Saturday. You can win two tickets. Ace Champion has been on the show. He's great. All you have to do to qualify to win is answer the question that I'm about to ask you. Is the question on social media as well?
Yes.
Okay, so go to Mino and the Mayor's Facebook page.
Yep.
Okay. Don't try to befriend Jim Schmidt because he won't friend you back. I found that out the hard way.
Oh, okay.
Mino and I are like regular pals. Actually, I don't even know if Jim's on Facebook. Jim might be one of those guys that wants nothing to do with Facebook. Couldn't you just see that?
Yeah, I could.
He's like popular enough, like in real life. I could see him not wanting to dabble. Okay, so here's the question too. And Conrad will tell you where to go after I ask it. How many varieties of flute has Good Buffalo played? Go to the Mino and the Mayor Facebook page and put your answers in under the post. I beat him to it. Three winners will be picked on Thursday night at 8 p.m. and also announced on the air Friday morning on Mino and the Mayor. Here are your choices. A, 28. And again, the question, how many varieties of flute has Good Buffalo played? A, 28. B, 42. C, 50. D, 35. What's confusing is there are only 9 types of flutes. I'm kidding. A, 28. B, 42. C, 50. D, 35. Conrad, do you know the answer?
I have no idea.
I have no idea either. I know the day he showed up here, I could not believe how many flutes this guy had. Yeah. And he played them all.
He did, and played him well.
He played him well. But would you know a good flute player from a bad flute player, honestly?
Well, I mean, one sounds like just noise. The other sounds like there's actually, music to it.
But if it's intentional noise, that's fine. He means to do that. Hey, this is exciting. We have a little bit of good news and a little bit of bad news. The good news is my guest in studio right now is one of Green Bay's own. Green Bay comic Kristen Leidy joins me in the studio. Hi, Kristen.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, this is really fun. I love most of the comedians I have on the show are either friends of mine from my own stand-up days or people from New York or LA or Chicago or whatever. I love that you are local and able to come into the studio. So that's fun. We'll talk about the Green Bay comedy scene.
Sure.
And all this cool stuff you have going on. But the bad news is, I'll let you share it.
Yeah, unfortunately, my pal Katie Bowman, that's going to be featured in the Fringe Festival and the GB UFO Fest this weekend, was supposed to be here with us, and she is currently stranded at O'Hare.
Thanks a lot, Katie. You really know how to make a guy feel special. Those might be some of the worst words you can say in the English language. Stuck at O'Hare.
It is the black hole of the earth.
She might not make the Fringe Festival, I know. Let's be honest. Luckily,
she was never seen again.
Now that's Fringe. She could take a bus.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen, Pete.
Some other folks are flying in from LA, and they're bussing it from Chicago to
really?
Green Bay tomorrow. Yeah.
Who do you have come? Tell us about. Let's start there. Let's start with the Fringe Fest. Are you one of the organizers or just one of the performers?
I am coordinating a show as part of the Fringe Festival, so I'm producing 3 comedy shows: Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not on the board of coordinating everything. Much love to them for all the work that they've put into it. Lots of great shows all weekend throughout venues downtown.
And you're putting those together, but you're not, it sounds like they're getting a lot of mileage out of you.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna perform a little bit,
okay.
But mainly I want to make a space for comics throughout the country to come and be part of the fest.
Oh, that's so great. Can you tell us a little bit about the Fringe Festival?
Yeah.
In general?
Yeah, it's 26 different acts. It was put together by folks from Green Bay who have always been really prominent in the art scene. So we've got, improv comedy, stand-up comedy, plays, one-person shows. We have a mind reader, and just all kinds of different acts happening. Oh, some sketch comedy as well.
Very nice. So who are the people putting this together? Who are the people behind this?
Yeah, Mike Eskerlin and Matthew Warzola are the two that I'm probably most familiar with. But there's a whole crew of, artists throughout Green Bay that have come together to be on the board of this.
You know, I have to tell you, I love, as someone who's never lived in Green Bay, and I mentioned this to a filmmaker here, Adam Krause, who made a film called Gags the Clown a few years ago. I said, I love that you made this film. And you don't mention the Packers. Like, honest to God. And I have nothing against the Packers. They're a phenomenal organization. And they're this crown jewel of the NFL. And it's excellent. But I think sometimes the art community gets overlooked a little bit. Not because of the Packers. Just because there's such a natural tendency to recognize them or talk about them. But there really is kind of a thriving art scene here, isn't there?
Yeah. We keep it secret.
Oh, that's, I don't know if that's very smart.
No, there's a great music scene, great art scene. You know, Aaron Karsten and Heather Peterman are two visual artists that I love very much. They do a lot of painting and mixed media work. And you have the Art Garage that is a hub for arts in Green Bay.
Yeah.
And the music scene's always been great. I grew up in the punk scene here in Green Bay. So,
really?
Yeah, I love Green Bay.
That's so great. So, all right. So what about the venues of the Fringe Festival? And how can people find out more about it and get tickets?
Yeah, we've got a website that lists all the shows and venues. Just Google Green Bay Fringe Festival and it'll come right to you. We really want you to get your tickets ahead of time. I know we still have shows available or tickets available for the shows that I'm doing Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, stand-up comedy. That'll be at the Green Bay Community Theater. Great venue. We're also doing shows at Lion's Mouth Bookstore, the Green Bay Democratic Office. It's kind of like about reclaiming different spaces and just putting art everywhere downtown.
I'm not sure what Google is, but when you look for these tickets, punch in Green Bay Fringe Festival, go to Google and all the information will come up. What you just said reminds me of like film festivals and they take over a town and they find cool venues, places you normally wouldn't see them. And that's what this kind of sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the fringe in Fringe Festival pertaining to? Does it mean like outliers in the art community or what does that mean?
Yeah, from how I understood it, you know, we have Edinburgh Fringe, which is like the mother of all fringe festivals.
Right.
And it's just this idea of artists taking control and producing what they want. So kind of no middleman. And in that way, it can be fringe because it's not dictated by what mainstream culture wants.
Yeah. My guest is Kristen Leidy. She is a Green Bay-based stand-up comedian, and she's joining me here in studio on Nightlight. And it's great to have you here, Kristen. All right, so we kind of started with this cool festival that Katie will hopefully make. Your pal, your comedic pal. Tell us a little bit about you, the comedian. How did you get started, and how, who, you know, tell us how it happened.
Yeah, I grew up in Green Bay, but 2008 to 2018, I was living in Chicago. And, you know, I was kind of going to open mics and just watching. I've always loved stand-up comedy, but I had the idea you were sort of preordained by God and you just emerged a stand-up comic and you were good at it. And then I started going to open mics and seeing like, oh, well, I could do that.
Both ways, there's a lot of pressure there.
Yeah. And I had a friend who was doing a book release, and she mentioned, hey, you know, it'd be kind of fun if you tried this stand-up comedy thing and hosted my book release. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
You know, so we did that, and it went really well. I got addicted real quick. And then since I was in Chicago, you could just do open mics multiple times a night.
Yeah.
And then I started getting booked on shows, and it just has been really fun ever since.
It's funny. That's where I started doing stand-up was in Chicago when I was in college. And you're right. At that point in the 90s, you could work the whole year without leaving town, which was appealing. I mean, I think you kind of get your chops on the road a little bit. That helps you. But it's sort of a double-edged sword. Like, just doing it in Chicago isn't going to help you get seen necessarily by TV shows or for festivals and stuff like that. But you're right. You can. It's such a great training ground. So when did you decide to come back to Green Bay?
Yeah, actually, I decided to move back to Green Bay around 2018 because of my day job. I'm a union organizer. And at that point, I kind of looked around Chicago and was like, ah, they got it covered. And, you know, I wanted to come home and build union power here and be closer to my family. And I realized I'd be kind of, you know, not being able to get up as much to perform.
Right.
But then what happened was I moved back and everyone was like, so you can do a half hour, right? And I was like, because, you know, Chicago, your sets are 6 to 10 minutes.
Right.
And, you know, you just get in that kind of rut of doing your tight 10 over and over. So it was actually, I think, the best thing that ever happened in my comedy career.
No kidding. Well, it's funny how that happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's an interesting sidebar, if you will. When I was, it was about 1995, 1996, and the money in stand-up comedy kept getting lowered by club owners.
Oh, I bet.
So I didn't start this, but I was one of the main people. There was like two or three other guys, and they pulled me into it, and they said, we have to stop this. So we organized this big boycott of all the comedy clubs.
Oh,
we sat down at Zany's with Bert Haas at the time and Rick Hewitt, and there was like four of us that went in there, and we tried to get them to stop lowering the money. Mm-hmm. And it did work. I mean, like for a while, but what happened was they offered the organizers house MC gigs that were pretty good money and to end the whole thing. And I'm very proud of myself. I didn't do it. I said, that would look really weird. And he goes, really? Well, your three other guys are doing it. I'm like, well, good for them.
Good for you, man.
I knew I was moving to LA anyway, but anyway, that's so cool. I didn't know. We'll talk about your union organizing too and how. And if you can use stand-up comedy when it comes to organizing unions, because I think those are probably can go hand in hand.
Oh, definitely.
All right, cool. Katie Bowman is not here. Unfortunately, she's stuck at O'Hare, but we've got Kristen Leidy, and this whole thing started with Kristen, and she is in, not the whole thing, like the whole world, but this evening on Nightlight started with Kristen, and we will talk more with her about her career here in Green Bay, and I've got a lot of questions for her. We'll do some union organizing. Maybe we'll organize a union here.
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll get Conrad involved. He's the tough sell right there.
Sounds good.
That's coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
Are you a veteran who needs assistance? Do you know a veteran who needs help? Those who bravely served our country should not have to worry about how they will afford their next meal, where they will sleep at night, or feel alone dealing with mental health or substance use issues. Help might be closer than you think. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. With our network of partners, like your local county veteran service officer, we can help connect veterans with services such as medical care, financial and legal assistance, housing, mental health services, substance use treatment, and more. We stand ready to serve you. For more information, call 1-800-WISVETS or visit wisvets.com. That's WISVETS.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
So Sherry texted in her answer to the Good Buffalo question, but I don't, can I read that, Conrad, or should we?
Sure, yeah.
Sherry says 35. And again, the question is, how many varieties of the flute has Good Buffalo played? 28, 42, 50, or 35? And Sherry from Horicon says 35. When in doubt, she did not Charlie out. I would have said 50, just, but 50's a lot, though. That's the highest number on there. I'd go 28. I think they're throwing us off. What do you think, Kristen?
I did not know there was more than one kind of flute.
Maybe you're not the person we should ask about. I don't know either. I'm just taking a stab here. So Sherry says 35, but Sherry, you have to go to the Facebook page for Mino and the Mayor if you want to actually qualify or have that answer qualify. And then Bridget from the 818 says, great question. Hard to choose. This is in relation to our appetizer. What is your favorite appetizer question? And it could be, what is your favorite appetizer when you binge watch TV or just have friends over or whatever? My whole life is centered around watching TV, so I will claim that. But Bridget says cheese curds. She says, hard to choose, but being a Wisconsin girl, I have to say cheese curds. Nothing wrong with that. Do you have a favorite appetizer, Christian?
Oh, bacon-wrapped dates. Oh, my God.
Oh, nice. I just had those like 3 weeks ago. My mom made. Oh, my gosh. That's were those so good. And you know what? It's funny. Dates are, that's like one of those things I, when you're eight, when I was like, let's say 12, and you said, one day you're really going to like dates. I might have gotten into a fist fight over that because they look so, you know what I mean? Like dates, really?
Yeah, they don't look appetizing.
They're delicious, though.
They are. They're really good.
And they're good for you.
And satisfying.
Yeah, it's satisfying. Very, very well said. I was not expecting that answer.
Oh, yeah.
Bacon-wrapped dates. That's very fancy. Yeah, I said potato skins. I'm like Johnny Lunchpail over here. Speaking of which, Johnny Lunchpail, you said you organize unions. That's got to be tough in this day and age. I mean, my wife is a teacher. Half the teachers in 2010 voted against their own interests for Act 10, and I think it's been a mess.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
absolutely.
Can the teachers union ever come back here?
I believe it.
Yeah.
I've been a union organizer for 15 years, and 2017, I decided I wanted to come back home and work for the teachers union because I found it in a very pivotal, exciting state.
Yeah.
Because essentially we don't have contracts in Wisconsin because of Act 10.
Right.
So what that means is anything that, you know, teachers want to win or advocate for, they do through collective action. So that looks like petitions, turning out to board meetings, having, you know, these face-to-face conversations to move the agenda items they care about. And to me, that's unionism in its purest form. And so I was very excited to come back and work in this environment. And, you know, over the past few years, we've seen nationally, there's an increase in a public opinion of unions. I think it's because we all realize, oh, my God, we're getting poorer.
Screwed.
Yeah. And, you know, in Wisconsin, we've actually grown our union this year for the first time since Act 10. So people are starting to understand this organizing model. And it's taken off.
Why did it even take that? Why did it even take that long? That's what drives me crazy. I cannot stand the voter, regardless of issue, that is getting screwed and says, we got to do our part. Oh, you're that guy? Okay. How easily swayed are you?
I feel like a lot of politics is theater, and it's used to scapegoat us against each other and really drive us away from our own self-interest. So they are masterful at it.
I don't talk politics much on this show. And this isn't really politics. This is like just, it's a separate issue. There are people on both sides of the aisle that like or don't like unions.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's okay to do that. And it strikes a nerve because of Act 10 and what happened when
absolutely.
And it was right after we moved back, or it was right before we moved back here. So I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Our union has actually started a lawsuit to say that you can't treat some public sector unions differently than others. I'm sorry, yes. public sector workers differently than others. So
it's discrimination.
Exactly. Yeah. So the judge has let the case proceed. We had oral arguments last month and, you know, the legislature, of course, wanted it shot down, but it is moving forward and we think we got a real shot.
Excellent.
Here.
Excellent. Good luck. I hope. All right. I just need to take a breath here. Go back to hosting the show. Okay. So let's get back to stand-up comedy. You started in Chicago. You came back to Green Bay. How often is this a hard city to be based out of? Do you travel from here? Or you mostly just say, you know what? I love comedy, but I'm only going to do local gigs. I don't want to travel.
I do travel quite a bit. I would say I'm on the road 2 to 3 weekends a month. I love the Green Bay airport. From my door to getting to the airport to park and getting through security is usually 15 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
It is a dream.
Wow. I hope Katie heard that while she's stuck at O'Hare right now. So,
but I do drive a lot. I do a lot of shows around the Midwest, like independent rooms and festivals. Later next month, I'm doing the Madison Comedy Week, and then the following week, Alternating Currents in Davenport, Iowa. And I'm a lover of all things Midwest. So
yeah, okay.
I think that's pretty much my brand.
Are audiences different within the Midwest states? Like, do you find that Green Bay crowds are different than Chicago crowds? Those are different than Iowa or Michigan. Do you notice differences or nuances within crowds?
Yeah. If I'm in a larger city, I'll generally talk more about my day job, and that's usually celebrated sometimes in a way that is annoying, like clapter, you know, okay, I haven't told you anything laugh worthy yet, you know, hold it on. And then I've noticed, like, upon leaving the Midwest, they don't like true crime jokes. They don't like dark humor. And like,
outside,
I feel like
the Midwest, they don't like that? Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I feel like the Midwest eats that up, especially Wisconsin audiences.
We have so many true crimes here, too. That's what I don't understand. Like, I guess we have a sense of humor about ourselves. Let's do this. You mentioned that we can give away tickets to the Fringe Festival. If anyone is listening and would like free tickets to this weekend's Fringe Festival here in Green Bay, where they're offering all kinds of different comedy and sketch and what else?
So these tickets would have to be just for my shows that I'm producing, because I don't want to give other producers tickets away. But these shows are Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the Green Bay Community Theater. You'll see about 6 to 7 comics from all over the country, different lineups every night. It'll be a really fun time.
All right. So we have 2 tickets for whoever texts in and wants to go check out Katie's comedy. And we'll play a little bit of Katie's comedy in the next segment. You get a sense of it. And you can hear how funny she is. And we'll have 2 tickets waiting for you. Maybe we'll give away 2 more. We'll see how it goes. But we'll do that. And hopefully we can help you put some butts in the seats. That would be fun.
Yeah.
We can talk about it tomorrow night as well. So who are your influences, Katie?
Kristen. I would say...
Kristen. I have a daughter named Katie. So
well, you know, I said I was bringing Katie.
Yeah,
Katie, Kristen is, you know, very interchangeable.
Oh, jeez.
I would say my favorite comedian is Maria Bamford.
Oh, she's funny.
Yeah, she's so funny and just so authentic and true to herself. I really love her work.
You know, the biggest thing I regret about... I never actually officially quit stand-up. I still do it sometimes. But it's like, when I segued into writing, I sort of didn't hang out with comedians as well. Like, I still have my core group from my Chicago comedy friends. They're still my best friends to this day. But people like Maria Bamford, like, I was around her a lot when I first moved to LA.
Oh, cool.
And she was so cool. And people like that, who she wouldn't know who I am because I stopped doing stand-up. But, like, I miss hanging out with those people. So what I'm saying is I'm glad you're here, because it's good to be around comedians again.
Yes.
All right. So my guest is Kristen Leidy, not Katie Bowman. Katie was very rude and got stuck at O'Hare, and she is dead to me. But we will give away tickets to Kristen's show this weekend. Text in if you want to see Kristen this weekend at the Green Bay Fringe Festival. We're going to hear some of her comedy coming up next, and I've got a whole bunch more questions for my in-studio guest and Green Bay native, Kristen Leidy. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Let her know that I'm well, as you can tell. And if she should tell you that she wants me back, tell her no. I gotta go.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
This is a special report from ABC News, the Republican National Convention. I'm Daria Albinger. Straight from prison to the convention, Peter Navarro.
This is a beautiful thing. I think you just, yeah, I think you folks just want to know if you can see my MAGA tattoo I got there.
The former Trump White House trade advisor served 4 months for contempt of Congress after he refused to testify or hand over documents to the House January 6th committee.
I went to prison so you won't have to. I am your wake-up call.
The theme tonight is Make America Strong once again. It's also a coming-out party of sorts for vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance, who's giving the keynote address. The Ohio senator will be introduced to the delegates by one of his staunchest supporters, Mr. Trump's son, Donald Jr. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Add one more to the list, we've had yet another tornado touchdown in the Badger State. The National Weather Service confirmed an EF1 twister touchdown in Keeler on Monday. It ripped the roof off of a classic supper club there. The family who owns it has now started a GoFundMe. We've had such an unusual tornado season here this year. 21 twisters so far in 2024. All of last year, we only had 21 of them. And with new legislative maps here in Wisconsin, and there's a lot at stake in November. Republican strategist Keith Gilkes says the down ballot races will be key.
People from the community know their community, have connections to their community, and know how to go out there and win races.
Thursday is the final full day of the convention. Former President Donald Trump will give the keynote address in the evening. That's when he'll formally accept the Republican Party's nomination for president. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson for Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Add one more to the list, we've had yet another tornado touchdown in the Badger State. The National Weather Service confirmed an EF1 twister touchdown in Keeler on Monday. It ripped the roof off of a classic supper club there. The family who owns it has now started a GoFundMe. We've had such an unusual tornado season here this year. 21 twisters so far in 2024. All of last year, we only had 21 of them. And with new legislative maps here in Wisconsin, and there's a lot at stake in November. Republican strategist Keith Gilkes says the down ballot races will be key.
People from the community know their community, have connections to their community, and know how to go out there and win races.
Thursday is the final full day of the convention. Former President Donald Trump will give the keynote address in the evening. That's when he'll formally accept the Republican Party's nomination for president. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson for Civic Media News.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low in the mid-50s. And mostly sunny for tomorrow, few clouds and pleasant, highs mid-70s. And more sun Friday, high near 80. Temperatures continue to warm into the weekend with some slight chances for showers and storms. Highs into the low 80s. Currently at 68.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2 across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we wrap up the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Lincoln Project co-founder Reed Galen will be our guest. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. My guest in studio is Kristen Leidy. She's a local comedian here in Northeast Wisconsin. We are broadcasting statewide. But if you want to see Kristen this weekend, you're going to have to come to Northeast Wisconsin. Tell us a little bit more about the Fringe Festival.
Yeah, it's going to be super fun. It'll be at the Green Bay Community Theater. We've got comedians from Los Angeles, Denver, Omaha, Bloomington, Indiana. Yeah, we got them, baby.
How'd you swing that?
I got friends. But we're all part of the record label called Burn This Records, which was started by Brandy Posey in Los Angeles. And was her mission was to get working class comics in front of industry and, you know, get us a label. And since then, I've been on, got my record released. It's been featured on Sirius XM. I got tracks on there. So it's been pretty exciting.
That's so cool. Let's talk about your album before I want to hear some of your comedy. But let's talk about this album because it just came out in April. And you recorded it last fall. Where can people see it? What is there a theme to it regarding your stand-up or what inspired you?
Yeah. I probably would have never recorded an album if I hadn't been pushed by friends to do so. So my friend JT Herbersat runs Altercation Fest down in Austin. And he was like, hey, you should record an album at my fest this year. And I was like, whoa, okay. So we did that. It was the best night of my life. And
really?
You know, it's material I've been building for, you know, kind of since I started comedy like 11 years ago. And Brandy picked it up on her label. And then I released it on vinyl, which was completed this week. So I've got beautiful green vinyl of this album as well. And the work features a lot of talking about, you know, my union work, growing up in Green Bay, growing up Catholic, trying to date, being a sober person in Green Bay. All that fun stuff.
All right. I want to ask you about those. But first of all, it's called Disassociation Vacation, right?
Yes.
The album. So if you Google that, I promise I will learn how to use Google because I do need it if I want to find your album. So check that out. You have vinyl. That is really cool because you have a vinyl album just like George Carlin had a vinyl album.
That was kind of something that made me want to do it because when I was little, me and my grandpa used to listen to comedy on vinyl and Carlin, Class Clown, man. That was a big one, you know? So it was just kind of always instilled on me, like, that's what you do.
That's so cool. So is it hard to be sober in Green Bay?
You know, I am 6 years, no alcohol now. And when I first moved back, it was challenging just because, you know, a lot of our festive activities center around alcohol. And now I reached
like
a
breakfast?
Place. Yeah. Yeah. And now I've reached a place where other people drinking doesn't interfere with my mood at all.
Nice.
Unless they're super wasted, then I need to leave.
But are you done drinking forever?
I think so.
Yeah.
I didn't like who I was when I drank.
Who were you?
Oh, a really chaotic, messy person.
Were you Ryan Reynolds when you drank? No, I honestly, and I've talked about this on the show, I stopped drinking about a year and a half ago. I didn't have a problem unless not being able to walk to bed was a problem without falling over. No, I would just, have a couple whiskeys, but a couple every night.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't terrible, but I was just like, you know what? I want to try to do this. And I had done it a couple times before that, but I feel great. And maybe I'll have another drink. I do miss a good old fashioned or a martini. I'm probably making you want to drink right now, but, but I don't know. I got to say, it's pretty fun being sober. And I live in Northeast Wisconsin, too. That is not an easy task.
No, I do like waking up in the morning and feeling good.
Yeah.
That's new. That's pretty great. I enjoy that. I don't really miss alcohol anymore.
Do you do drugs?
No. I know.
Well, that makes it easier, Pete. I don't have...
I'm just out here in reality.
Look
100%.
At you. I know coffee is like my favorite part of the day.
I could never give that up.
I love it. Yeah. You said something, growing up Catholic. So mm-hmm. Did you go to Catholic school?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
St. Peter and Paul.
Here in Green Bay?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to church a lot?
When they made me, yeah.
The school made you, right?
Yeah.
When I was a kid in Catholic school in Chicago on the Northwest Side, it was called Our Lady of Victory. We met in church at daily mass every day, and then we would walk to the school.
Oh, wow.
I mean, if you want to chase people away from the Catholic religion, make sure they go to church every day.
Yeah, it's a fun time.
That's a lot, right?
It's too too much.
And I remember one time when we had to make our first confession, we were in line, and the priest, we were horsing around in line, you know, mm-hmm. like in third grade. We have nothing to confess anyway.
Yeah.
And the priest comes out, and he says, "Knock it off." And I'm like, I was the next kid, and I'm like, he knows it's me now. Whatever I say, it's kind of like cheating. So that's kind of cool. So are you still Catholic? Do you still practice?
No.
Okay. That's okay. There's no judgment. So let's talk about Conrad. Do you have a clip of Kristen's comedy lined up?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Here is a sampling of Kristen's comedy. You can hear her at the Green Bay Fringe Festival. That's this weekend. And here she is right now.
So I'm a sober person. I just hit 5 years sober. Thank you. Your polite applause feels just as good as getting drunk used to. It doesn't. I moved back home to Green Bay, Wisconsin to get sober, which is a sentence no one has ever said before. It's going good though. Like, my getting sober, it wasn't court ordered or anything, but there were a few moments along the way that provided space for me to reflect upon my actions. Number one, I woke up with a tattoo. Anybody here ever wake up with a tattoo? Oh, look at us, we don't have a problem. Thought you were cool, Chicago, whatever. And then the other thing that happened is I said the phrase, "I didn't start this fight, but I'll finish it." At the farmer's market.
Is that a true story?
It is. That Wednesday night farmer's market gets
in
wild.
Chicago?
No,
here?
Right here on Broadway.
You finished a fight at the farmer's market.
I did.
Was it over kettle corn or something?
Someone cut in line for the baked cheese, and I was not having it.
Wow. You wanted that baked cheese.
It was really good.
I was at Who Hut once here in Green Bay,
mm-hmm.
and I cut in line accidentally. I didn't know the line was there. And this woman, who was twice my size, said, "Get out of this line."
We don't like a line cutter.
No, and I'm like, I'm sorry. I thought she was going to like eat me or something. I'm like, it was just for like, and whatever. Okay. So do you have a good heckler story? I'm sure you've been heckled like all comics, or a good bad crowd story.
You know, honestly, I haven't really been heckled a lot. What I get sometimes is the supportive person who thinks that they're like helping.
Oh, that's the worst.
And they'll be like, "You're funny." And I'm like, okay, drunkie. You're
yeah,
ruining
say that right
the show.
Before my yeah. punchline. I love that.
I know. Yeah. Step all over me. Thank you.
That's
love
hilarious.
It.
I was doing stand up once on the south side of Chicago, and I got off the stage. And as I'm leaving, there's a table full of really young guys, like probably 21, 22. And I just wasn't a great set. And I walk past and I hear the one guy lean over to his friend and go, "Finally."
Oh, ouch.
But what can you do? You just have to laugh. It's I know I chewed it, you know, it's terrible.
Yeah, we all have those nights.
What are your goals when it comes to stand-up comedy? You obviously have this other gig, you're organizing unions, but just to be a really great stand-up, do you want your own sitcom one day, social media sensation? Do you want to do nails? What do you want to do?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of rare as far as comedians go, because I'm just really happy to perform. And as long as people will come and see me,
yeah,
I love that. You know, I think my main goal would be to establish an independent room here in Green Bay that gets a good following, and people see that comedy is like music and that there's different genres. And like, yeah. There is like a fun punk rock leftist comedy scene.
My guest is Kristen Leidy. You can see her at this weekend's pardon me, Green Bay Fringe Festival here in Green Bay. And if you text in and you want to go, we'll give you two tickets. Sherry from Horicon says, "Love coffee." I knew Sherry was going to say that.
Yeah, Sherry.
I think she said that before. She says she stopped drinking 25 years ago.
Whoa, congrats. That's awesome.
It is awesome, but she must be really thirsty. Hi-yo! Come on, don't laugh at that, Kristen. You'll only encourage me. So why don't we do this? Why don't we play, since Katie can't be with us, we kind of clip some of her comedy too. She'll be performing at Fringe Fest as well.
Yes.
Okay. So originally, folks, what we had here was Katie Bowman was going to join Kristen in the studio. Katie got stranded at O'Hare. She's probably at a craps table right now, let's be honest. But she will be here this weekend too at Fringe Festival. And if I made that joke and she actually has a gambling problem, I apologize. But let's hear some of Katie Bowman's stand up right now.
I just passed our 6-year mark in our relationship. It's really crazy. And whenever you get that far, you just start thinking about all your first moments. And one of my favorite first moments to think about is the first fight, right? Like, we all love a first fight because that's when you truly see each other. You know, you're just choking each other out. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, you get into it. And he really thought that this phrase was going to, like, be like, oh, wow, I feel bad. Katie feels bad, you know? Like, he was like, sometimes I just feel like you're trying to change me. And I was just like, yeah, that's what a relationship is. Like, and if you're not getting what I'm saying, is I'm a pansexual woman in a straight-facing relationship, all right? I've dated a few straight boys, and I can tell you this. There's not a woman in this room dating a straight man that's like, yes, I love you at your factory settings. I love when you leave the toilet seat up. It makes me feel like I got a job. You don't clip your toenails, okay. I've always wanted to know what it's like to fucking Middle Earth. Thank you. I've been traveling around telling that joke and some men get really pissed about it. And I'm like, dude, I get this from your wedding vows, okay? Like, every wedding I go to, the guy's like, you showed me how to make a sandwich.
That's Katie Bowman. She was supposed to be here tonight. She's stuck at O'Hare. She will be at Fringe Festival. Is it the Fringe Festival? Am I saying that
right? I think so,
the Fringe Festival here in Green Bay. Yeah. Where can people get tickets to see Katie? Can we give those? Either one of you, right? Because you're controlling the comedy venues. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. Katie will be on the Thursday night show and Friday night show.
Okay, very cool. That's really cool that you have that here in Green Bay. I think that's fantastic. And I saw that on Facebook, I think like a month ago, and I was like, oh, I got to look into this, and I never did, and you just kind of fell into my lap anyway, thanks to Todd Michaels, so this worked out really well.
Thanks, Todd.
Who do you think is really funny right now that does stand-up comedy?
I love Julio Torres. He is probably my favorite stand-up comedian. He's behind the movie Problemista and the show Phantasms. He just has a really avant-garde, magical sense of narrative, and I love it. It's almost like childlike in a way.
Interesting. And he's a stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Who else? Do you have influences that, like, you said Maria Bamford before. Who did you grow up watching?
I definitely grew up on George Carlin and Bill Hicks. You know, those were kind of like the prominent comedians I had access to. You know, it was pre-internet days. So.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot out there.
You get like a pirated VHS tape or something. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bill Hicks was great. I worked with him in Milwaukee. And this is before anybody knew he had cancer. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. We were in the condo for some reason. It was after all the Saturday shows. And he said, you know what? If you were a real pal, I just met him. We weren't that good of friends. But he said, you drive me to Maxwell Street in Chicago right now so I could get a Polish sausage.
Oh, yeah.
2 o'clock in the morning. And I, you know, if I had known he had pancreatic cancer, I would have said, let's go.
Yeah.
But I said, I can't drive. I had been drinking. I can't drive to Chicago. And I live in Chicago. I would have just wanted to stay in my own bed then. But to this day, I kind of wish I would have done it. That would have been really cool. And because watching him work was so, to be as edgy as he could be and talk about the things he could talk about and make them funny.
Mm-hmm.
That's like another level of art.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's why I love Maria Bamford, too, because she'll just talk about the darkest, most depressing things you could think of
right.
in terms of like mental health and make it hilarious.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about comedy is creating that sense of community.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any other dates coming up in Wisconsin?
In Wisconsin.
Look it up. We'll do this and we'll come back. All right. We'll hear where
we'll
dig it. We'll do a deep dive into Kristen's calendar coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL-HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL-HHS or the U.S. government.
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show.
So, Jim, this is kind of cool. Jim says on the text line, so glad you are on with good comedy after the political overload all day. Feels great. Thank you, Jim from Appleton. Jim always has great texts. And I just want to say tomorrow night on the show, Abby Novak will be here talking about, it's Light the Night Appleton, right, Conrad?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll have Abby. Abby was here last week. She's kind of the girl who knows everything about Appleton. And yeah. She could probably be on the show every week because it sounds like Appleton has something going on every week. She'll be on tomorrow night, and comedian Johnny Beaner will be here. We got a lot of comedy coming up on the show, folks. Pat McGann will be with me on Monday night at 7:30. I'll be doing the show for Madison, our Madison studios. And we just found out, Conrad, Marta Hansen will be on the show Monday. How cool is that? Remember her? She did that song, The Lasts.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, Terry Barr brought her a few Fridays ago, and she will be joining me live in studio after we talk to Pat in Madison. That will be really fun. She is great. Have you heard of Marta Hansen?
No. Where's she out of?
She is out of, I think, Madison.
Nice.
And she, what did she have some skill? Like, she made her own pianos, I think, or something like that.
Wow. Yeah.
I love talking to people who are so much smarter than me, it's ridiculous. And I can just ask them questions about what they do all night because it's so different and cool. So my guest right now is Kristen Leidy, and you can see her this weekend at the Fringe Festival here in Green Bay with her friend Katie Bowman, who is not with us tonight, was supposed to be, but she's held up in Chicago. Hopefully I shouldn't say held up in Chicago. That could mean something else, but she'll be here this weekend, God willing, and both very funny comedians. Check them out this weekend. Do you have a favorite club to work? And if you have dates in Wisconsin, please tell us where we can see you, aside from the Fringe Festival.
Yeah, I would say one of my favorite clubs to work is the Laughing Tap in Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's comic run and just a wonderful space. They absolutely do it because they love comedy and they love the Wisconsin comedy scene. And I'm going to be featuring there the weekend of September 13th for nice. Kate Willett, which I'm very excited about. She's very fun.
I've heard of her, yeah.
Yeah, she's great. And, a lot of my dates are around the Midwest. In the next month, I'm going to be in, Minneapolis, Madison, Milwaukee, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Nice.
I'm featuring for Brian Posehn in October in Tulsa.
Oh, I know. Nice.
I'm very excited about that.
His wife was kind of my manager for a little while, Melanie. She's great.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and Brian's such a good guy. I don't know him well, but he's a very good guy.
Yeah, we worked together in Austin last month, and I hosted for him at the Creek in the Cave. So I'm excited to get to work with him again. So nice and so funny.
So when is your Madison date, and what is that club?
Yeah, Madison, I will be at the at Comedy on State on Thursday, August 8th, as part of Madison Comedy Week.
Cool.
And then on the 9th, that Friday, I'll be at the Burr Oak as part of the fest, too.
Very nice. The Laughing Tap is owned by Greg Bach, who
yes!
is a personality here at Civic Media. Greg's great.
Greg is so great.
Yeah.
I love him.
That's so cool. Well, check out, and do you have a website we can push here?
Yeah, KristenLeidy.com.
KristenLeidy.com. It's L-Y-T-I-E, KristenLeidy.com. Check it out. So what of all those rooms you just said, or is there a room that's your favorite, like other than the Laughing Tap? Like, let's say, tell us locally where you like to perform in Northeast Wisconsin. What's the best room around here?
Yeah, locally, I love to perform. It's kind of silly, but my friends have a record store, and it's called the GB UFO Museum and Gift Shop, which confuses everybody, but it is a record store. And, you know, sometimes we'll just do makeshift shows there and, you know,
That's
throw
so cool.
chairs in, and it's a very fun time.
Very nice. All right, so I ask most of my guests this because I love to talk about TV and movies.
Oh, and the Tarleton. I'm sorry. Oh, that's a great venue here in Green Bay.
For stand-up comedy?
Yeah,
oh,
and
nice.
They really support local artists.
Oh, Tarl's been on the show. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
That's so cool. All right. So what are you watching on TV? Can you recommend something you binge watch?
I live under a rock, so currently I am watching The Sopranos for the first time.
Nice. All right. It's funny you say that because I just did a rewatch of that show probably less than a year ago, and what are your thoughts on it? Because I remember watching it when it came out, and I really liked it. And I liked it now, but I do think it seemed dated. Do you get that sense watching it for the first time?
It's a little bit. I do think it aged well, but there are some instances, like when they're talking about the Columbus controversy, the dialogue feels a little heavy-handed and not natural.
Oh, yeah.
But overall, I think it's aged pretty okay compared to some things I've rewatched.
Who are your favorite characters on The Soprano, and who are your least favorite characters?
I hate Christopher. I hate him so much. Such a jerk, and he's so mean to Adrian.
Yeah.
Adriana, I mean. I love Carmela, actually. I love a wife with moxie. I don't understand how all these women just throw themselves at
Tony.
The doughy dad.
What
that is
the
Tony.
Deal? Did that start the dad bod craze or something? Like, I thought it was a bunch of guys on Madison Avenue in the ad world that got sick of doing sit-ups, so they started pushing that the dad bod was the thing.
Yeah.
But Tony Soprano, come on. I know he's powerful.
Yeah.
But, and I like Carmela. She's a Tony.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who I don't like is I get sick of that Polly Walnuts.
Oh, yeah.
And then, he's funny, but, and then the sister and the mom of
Tony.
Oh,
my God. Yeah.
Well, it got to the point where on my second viewing, I would fast forward. I'm like, I can't. The sister is such a train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever, Tony is too.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, oh, they're hard to watch sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that everyone is like in their own therapy sessions. I'm like, well, at least they're trying. Yeah.
Right, exactly. What about, we got about a minute left. Blockbuster movies. Have you seen anything? Any of the summer films?
Oh, Long Legs was amazing. Maxine was amazing. I love horror. I do a podcast about horror movies. So anything horror, I am 100% on board.
I wish I had known you'd seen Maxine. We could have really.
Oh,
I just
so good.
Saw that 2 days ago. It was good. Did you see X?
Yes, and Pearl.
I have not seen Pearl.
Oh, yeah. I think Pearl is my favorite of the three.
Terry Bell said that last night. He was on giving us an update from the RNC, but he's also a movie buff. He said the same thing about Pearl. So I'm going to have to watch that. And I have not seen Long Legs. I had very jaded friends on Facebook saying, this was terrible, but
nah, it's fun.
Most of the critics love it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You we recommend it?
Yeah, I love a throwback to the Satanic Panic and all that fun stuff.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, it's a good time.
Conrad, I think we should go see Long Legs this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm not a horror film fan.
Okay, I guess just hanging out with me isn't enough. Then. All right.
We can't power run, I'm
this
sorry.
Is, all right. Conrad is taking a knee in our friendship. All right, so this was very fun. Thank you, Kristen. And
yeah,
good luck with the Fringe
me.
Festival this weekend. I hope you guys crush it. And I hope Katie makes it here.
Me too.
She's around next week. Have her call me. We'll have her in.
Great.
We'll get to know her a little bit. That would be fun. And join us tomorrow night. Abby Novak will be here and comedian Johnny Beaner. Great to have you with me here on Nightlight tonight. Wherever you join me from, I hope you're having a wonderful, safe evening. And we will see you tomorrow night. On behalf of Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Crude and Dom.
Join the Devil's Advocates Thursday. Very special RNC coverage. Former Governor Scott McCallum at 4:20. Our friend in labor, Rick Smith at 4:30. Join us.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 3 to 6.
tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts. So we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road. Plus, IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
You're listening to Mad Radio. WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, the Republican National Convention. I'm Daria Albinger.